Hello, welcome to La Cosa Nostra. As usual, I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today we are covering 2010's Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, directed by Edgar Wright, starring Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Kieran Culkin, and Jason Schwartzman, as well as Brie Larson, Chris Evans, but just about anyone who's, you know, anyone was at some point in this film. It's got a mental cost. I do think we should quickly, before we get into it, appreciate the amazing cast in this
film.
Yeah,
it's got a really good
cast. We've
got, cast.
I mean, Michael Cera, known for Superbad, he was in Barbie, he was in so many
Adventureland?
Movies.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm right,
I don't know.
Kieran Culkin?
Oh, yeah.
Kieran Culkin, of course, who was Succession, he's in Home Alone, he's in a lot.
He's in
Anna
Jesse
Kendrick.
Eisenberg's new film, yeah.
I mean, you've got Pitch Perfect, you've
I
got
don't actually know her.
Trolls. Yeah. My siblings love Trolls. Anna Kendrick is in Trolls. You've got Aubrey Plaza, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's why I'd seen that film.
Jason
well.
Schwartzman, anything by
Wes Anderson,
he's in it. You've got, obviously, Chris Evans is in it. I mean, I think that's just about everyone very famous in this film. But, I mean, obviously, directed by... Yeah, Brie Larson, correct, yeah. Also brilliant. Edgar Wright. For those who are new to the film, it was based on Brian Lee O'Malley's graphic novels. There are six of them. We'll go into more detail about kind of the story of that, but when the movie was being made, there's only four of them. The movie took around 8 years to get into production. They got the rights, and then they got the director, and then the casting alone took 2 years, the writing... the ending of this film actually was made a decision by Edgar Wright because the actual books hadn't come out yet. So he asked Brian Lee O'Malley, like, are you okay with this ending? Originally, the ending was going to be that Scott goes off with knives, and that's kind of the relationship.
Which is how I saw it going.
And that's, yeah, a lot of people prefer that way. But when they asked the test audience hated it. So there were two other endings. There was obviously the one that we all know and love, which is Scott goes off with Ramona, which lines up pretty closely to what happens in the comics. There was actually a third option, which was that Scott was a serial killer and that he was just going around killing his girlfriend's exes. That the whole, like, coins and thing was all schizophrenia, which would have been a very,
very different,
dark take. So, Scott Pilgrim, when did you watch it? What are your initial thoughts before we get into a deep breakdown?
Okay, you know, I'd always thought about watching this movie because it looked interesting. I couldn't put my finger on what it was about it, but it always looked interesting. And I had multiple occasions where I was like, okay, let's find a film to watch. Hey, this one looks good. And it had been on my watch list for a really long time. And for some reason, whenever I watched the trailer, I struggled to get into it. And it was like three times on three different occasions. And I was like, huh. It's just not clicking with me. And now I had a reason to watch it. And my first thought of it is that it's good. It's a very good movie. It's a very unique movie. I don't think I've seen a movie like it before. The main thing I struggle with this movie is that does it need to be in live action?
Yeah.
I feel the live act, because you have the TV show, which proves just makes a lot more sense just to do it in animation. Because it's just a lot. Because it's the same thing with animation. If an animated film doesn't justify why it's animated, I don't think I can really get into it. This movie doesn't justify why it needs to be live action. And, like, it would make a really good animated film. And there's so many scenes, especially the fight scenes, I could feel that could be so much better and better done if you used animation, any form of animation. So that was my main issue with it.
I think it works. I think it's quite an interesting sort of different take. I think it's one of the better ways where they take the comics and they then make that into a very well translated action, like live action film. It had a budget of around 85 million.
Which is
90 million, which
yeah,
is
yeah, you can see
lot.
All the money on the screen.
They spend so much on three things. The cast, which is amazing in my opinion. Everyone is having a good time. I mean, they all came back for the show.
Yeah. Which is incredible. The show came out like 10 years after.
The show, it came out like last year. I mean,
oh yeah, that's 12, about 12 years.
12 years after, yeah. Everyone came back. The cast is phenomenal. Everyone acts really well. I mean, we'll talk more about favorite performances and stuff later, but as a general overview, they do really well. I can see where the money goes in. The special effects in this film are so good. And I think really necessary to like very well translate kind of this comic, which in itself is like homage to old video games.
Yeah.
Like Zelda.
Which is always good. That's always good. I always like that.
Yeah, like in the film, they use the music sometimes from Zelda. They use like different Zelda sound effects, Mario sound effects. Obviously, there's stuff like the pee bar when Scott goes to take a pee and it like drains itself. You've got like when Scott gets a life, there's the 1UP logo. When they're fighting, there are all of these cool, like, kind of wacky
like,
effects.
I'm thinking Mortal Kombat, Street
it's so
Fighter.
Much like that.
That's why that's the vibe I get when I see the fight.
And also the framing's really good for comics, like, where you get, like, the split panels when they're on phone calls.
Yeah.
Or, like, when they're fighting and you get the kind of diagonal strike and it's, like...
I was thinking more anime when I saw that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's what the TV show is as well, so... That's why I kept thinking, like, this looks really cool, but does it need to be live action? I think it would look even cooler if they did it in animation. Like, think of Spider-Verse, for example.
But I
can see this movie being, if they did it in animation, it would be like Spider-Verse, even better, okay? It would translate so well into that kind of realm. I don't know.
I think it's quite fun, though. It is fun to see it in this different taste.
It is interesting. It's still, I like that we've got this movie. That we can see this movie like this, you know, that's just, it was really interesting. And I thought I was, because like, I've always kind of struggled to get into Michael Cera movies.
He did really well in this film. Let's get into it. Let's talk about performances. Personally, Michael Cera,
because I thought that was crazy, like, but I'm checking the reviews, like back in 2010 or in Wikipedia, it says that people's favorite performances were Wallace.
Kieran Culkin
is
still hilarious.
Yeah,
like
he was
now.
Really good.
He's so good in this film. He's so funny. He's really well comedically timed. He does it all like brilliantly.
Yeah. And they really liked Brie Larson's performance.
She's really great. That scene where he's in the cafe and they look at the poster, they look away, they come back and she's standing there.
Yeah, she's just standing there.
What I would say is this film is cast so well, but it's like you've got Michael Cera as Michael Cera. His ex-girlfriend,
which is my issue, which
Brie
is
Larson,
my main issue with it.
Brie Larson. And then he meets this girl, Mary Elizabeth Warren said, I don't know enough about. She does a really good job as Ramona. I think she's funny. She can be emotional at times. She's got this kind of...
Yeah.
I think the phrase for it is manic pixie dream girl, which
isn't a great phrase nowadays, like, because it's kind of used as a crutch. I'm thinking like Eternal Sunshine, 500 Days of Summer.
We've done a lot of manic pixie.
Yeah, we have.
Sorry, guys.
It's surprisingly done without even thinking about it. We've done quite a lot.
I feel like we should just close off and next week do 500 Days and just close off our maxi.
Yeah,
manic
we have
pixie
to do. We have to put the trilogy.
Saga.
Put the trilogy together.
Yeah, but I think she's done pretty well. I mean, she translates really well from the comics. She feels very real. The character, the clothing she wears, everything about her. I mean, we'll talk more about costume design and stuff later into this, but. She's really real and dynamic character.
Yeah.
Scott, although he is basically Michael Cera as Canadian Michael Cera.
Which is just like...
He's so good. I think his awkwardness, his kind of weird...
I don't know. I was like, in the past, I've kind of been into that awkwardness, but now it's just, it's so just bland to me right now. And there's bits in this movie where I see him, he's just like an asshole in this movie. Those are the bits where I get into. He feels like three-dimensional.
So many
just...
people like misunderstand the plot of this, but Scott isn't like, the point is Scott isn't a nice guy.
Yeah,
like
he's not.
In the comics, the whole thing is that Scott has this kind of like arc where he goes from a horrible person who cares only about himself to this like good kind of rounded person. He's so mean in this film. If we just do a quick rundown of what happens to Scott in this film, he dates a minor, he dumps a minor to meet another girl, he beats up all of her exes
he
cheats on his 17-year-old girlfriend, which is already really weird. I mean, I think he's really funny in this film. I like the lines, you know, bread makes you fat.
Bread makes you fat is
genius. I love
genuinely. I was really, and where he the bit where he jumps out the window.
He jumps out the window. like when you do a cool slidey thingy, you mean a grind. And he's like, there are girls watching.
Yeah.
And he defeats him. And his line, "You were once a vegan, and now you will be gone," is for me a great line. So we've done kind of the main two. The Evil Exes, I think even though they're side characters, they're actually quite well filled out.
It's all break, apart from like the twins, which they come in like for 5 minutes and then
they just die.
I just like, what was the point of that?
But they're quite well-rounded characters in general. Like, I think Chris Evans is number two. Who's my favourite? Was really well
Maybe
done.
My favourite was the first, though.
The first one was really funny. Yeah. I found Matthew Patel really fun. Pirates are in this year, and then doing the whole like Indian dance homage to Bollywood music, I thought was really good. Jason Schwartzman's really good in this film. I think G-Man is so annoying, but that's like his point is that he's so annoying and pretentious.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I mean, Roxy Richter is really good as the only girl ex, which is like very, very alluded to in the film. She's quite funny. She's got good design. I think in general the exes are really well done, even though they're not in it very much. I do think the vegan is my favourite. I think he's really funny, and
he is really funny.
He's just such a blockhead, and his hair, how his hair like sticks
how
up.
He has like stun doubles to do like
For Lucas Lee, for the second one. I thought that was a really funny moment. I think for the base third is my favourite. I think it's really well done. And obviously the vegan police is so funny.
It's so
unnecessary,
stupid.
But
it's
so
just,
funny.
It's just so stupid. It's just like, what?
Yeah, and he's like, isn't gelato vegan? It's milk and eggs, bitch. I think it's such a good line. In general, this film's really well written. I think it's like very funny dynamic.
It is very funny.
It's one of those indie gems that you're going to miss, and I do recommend that you watch it. It's got that kind of atmosphere to it where it's like not everything is planned out, but it just feels like it was fun to make. It was fun to do.
I know. Okay, the weird thing about this movie, I don't think I've ever been able to wrap my head around this. This movie didn't make any money when it came out.
I don't think it did. It didn't make much.
Its budget was 85 and the box office was 51.
Oh, it lost money.
Yeah, and what came out in 2010 that would have just...
I mean, Inception, so many things came out. Yeah, ultimately, it is an indie movie. It was a massive chance to make. I mean, personally, I think I really like it, but it's one of those films that you either like or you're kind of indifferent about.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anybody who truly like dislikes this movie.
There's a lot in here to enjoy. I think it's a bit much. Like a lot happens, not very fast. If it does one thing really well, is it mixes genres and things together. Really
well. They called it a transmedia.
Yeah,
thing.
Like the scenes with all of. I love the like little pop ups that explain things, and they use the original drawings from the comics. You know where it's like they talk about Envy, or you know, we're not supposed to say a name, but you know, Envy or Scott's last haircut. Or all of the like P-Barn, as we brought up before, all of the little dynamic elements really help kind of, as you said, it's not an animated movie, but without those, it really would have felt really odd. But with those little kind of added, kind of surreal elements, it helped kind of make it.
I think
it
my
that.
Favorite element was just like when it had a laugh track for like 2 minutes. And
that was
just
so funny. And then it just never had a laugh track
just
before.
Gone. So I'm looking here, like you had stuff like Inception, probably like Twilight and stuff like that that came out at the exact same time. Iron Man 2, Alice in Wonderland, Toy Story 3. So, like, it was a tough year. Yeah. And I'm not sure if the comics were popular enough.
They weren't very popular. They're quite indie comics. Not a lot of people will read them. Okay, it's an Edgar Wright movie. And if Edgar Wright does anything really well, it's transitions. This film's transitions is actually incredible. I mean, in the opening 15 minutes, you get this really good transition of Scott... and he's like picking up his girlfriend from school, and there's this bell, and you follow the kind of sound bubble of the bell, and then you're in the school, and it's really smooth and well done. And also a lot of transitions, like when he gets out of bed and he's like he opens the door and he gets blinded by this light, and it's like and then the like word fills the screen, and then you're into like his day. And then after that, Scott like being mesmerized by Ramona, and then Stephen Stills, his bandmate, goes Scott, and then boom, we're pulled into the next scene. It's really dynamic, and it's really important that those are there for me, because it's quite a fast paced movie. A lot happens,
and I think the editing is really good.
Like the editing,
it's
if
really
it didn't
good.
Have it, it would have felt too fast. But because the editing pulls you from scene to scene.
Yeah, because like there's some movies where the editing just feels completely all over the place, and by all accounts, this should feel kind of like messy and not very well done, but the editing is it's surprisingly really smooth, especially I was thinking in the fight scenes.
Yeah, like they're really well done, the fight scenes. I mean, obviously there has to be action in it because it is about Scott fighting the exes, but I think the way that the action is done is really well done. I think Michael Cera is not known for action, but he did a really good job with stunts and stuff. He did a lot of his own ones because a lot of it was kind of ground-to-ground fighting.
Yeah.
I think they're funny, the scenes as well. But I think there's a lot of extra stuff in this movie they kind of add that helps round it off. I mean, Scott's fight scenes are way better than they needed to be. They're really well done. The coin effects and stuff. Like, the whole fight scenes are really good. Brie Larson singing Black Sheep like that well is so impressive.
Is she a singer?
I think she had a small career as a pop singer, but like, she was really good there. And I mean, everyone, there's a joke. It's Scott Pilgrim versus every girl in this movie has bangs. Because they all have the same haircut. But I think like, the way that they all look and perform, like, it's different enough to make every character stand out, I think. And I think you can watch this movie from every character's perspective and get a different experience out of it.
Yeah, yeah. This movie was shortlisted for Best Visual Effects. It didn't get nominated.
Oh, it should have. Which I think its visual effects were brilliant.
Like, what was happening that year? Let me see. Okay, Iron Man 2, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Alice in Wonderland, Inception.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, no, but like, I still do think like Alice in Wonderland's visual effects look hideously just grungy and grey. This movie, it's so vibrant.
It uses them really well.
Exactly. And like, even Deathly Hallows, I feel that it's a little dirty. Some of these movies can be a little dirty where you have so much CG. The CG, like, they do... The CG here actually helps the movie. It doesn't feel like it's just a crutch. In those movies, I feel it's just like as a crutch. You know, it's very well done here. Yeah.
And it's not like... Because my problem a lot of the time is that the CGI saves the movie.
Yeah.
Like, without the CGI, the film wouldn't work. As I think here, it's more of a like aiding aspect.
Yeah, it still wouldn't work without the CG, obviously. Like, this... I can't tell if this movie used CG too early and if you did it like... If you did it like this, like around this time, it would look better. But like for 2010,
it was really good.
And
I genuinely couldn't notice that much when the CGI was being used or not, because they used it a lot as effects that were kind of built in.
Yeah, and they obviously make sense here. You know, I'm not sure if they were trying to like shoot too high too early.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's.
But it still does look very good.
It looks really good. I think it's quite an experimental film. It's like, it's very over kind of the top. And I personally find it very enjoyable. I think the story is really good. I find the plot really well done. I think the action's really well done. Special effects are really good in my, like, I mean, it's like one of the main aspects of it. I think the performances are very fun and enjoyable. I mean, they're not necessarily... the greatest, most like career-defining performances ever, but they're very strong. They're enjoyable. You know, they keep the plot going, and you do side with characters. Like, I found myself like hoping Scott would win, and like
I just felt like this movie probably. I don't know, because like I've never read the comics or anything, but just watching this movie, I'm like, hey, it would make like a really good indie film, just like
without
any
of
the, I know, but without any of the fighting, just like be a slice of life like kind of movie.
Romance.
Yeah. I think I would have gone into it more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I told you I was really vibing with like the first 20 minutes where it was just Scott's life, you know, going through everything. And then the first fight comes, then it kind of just like it just kind of creeps up on you, then just like jumps. I'm like, oh, okay. We're doing this. There's people flying all over the place. I'm like, wow. Okay, I didn't see that coming. And like, I don't know if it kind of, it doesn't build in this, another problem with this, it doesn't build up a reality where like, in the first 25 minutes, it doesn't build up a reality where like all these fights can happen.
But I think that's kind of the idea. I think if I had to give it kind of a genre and a type, it is a surrealist movie in that, I think that an important thing, and they say this a lot with theatre, is that you have to suspend your disbelief, which is just, you have to kind of go with the flow.
Yeah,
and if you sit in the seat and don't judge the movie and kind of let it roll, like, these fights are part of Scott Pilgrim's world. Like, the idea is that is just a normal thing that happens.
Yeah, but they never establish it's a normal thing. It's like having Eternal Sunshine, everything just happens, and then boom, there's just like this massive fight with like people flying and like people bursting into coins. I'm like, whoa, we never established that.
Yeah,
you never, like in animation, I feel it's easier to get away with that because you already know it's not real. in animation. So you're able to have all these crazy fights and stuff.
But I think to an extent it is established with these like over the top kind of visuals and the colors. And I think the fights are part of the world. It's not talked about in the comics, in the movie, because obviously they had to shorten a very large comic series into a short one. But he had fought people like this before.
Yeah, they did touch on it.
Yeah, and like I think it was Kim.
Yeah, he had to fight her. Yeah, so it's like it's happened before, but they established that like an hour and a half into the movie, which is like could you establish that these things kind of happened like before? Like, so I'm not getting to this, like, wow, this is such a shock to the system. I don't know.
I feel like that's kind of the fun of it, though, is that
I can't tell if that was a joke. I couldn't tell if that was a joke or not.
But I think with Scott Pilgrim, everything is a joke. Like, the whole film is in itself a really extended joke about, like, college relationships.
Yeah.
Because these guys are young adults. They don't know what they're doing with their life. And Scott, seemingly, all he cares about, he's not employed. He doesn't really have anything going for his life. All he cares about is love and romance. And that's it.
Which is, like...
kind of a joke about the unemployed.
I don't know. It's just like, I guess that's an issue with this film that I can't see people who are like younger than, let's say, 12 getting into this. But I can't see people who are older than like, I don't know, 40 getting into this. You need to be in like this kind of just kind of transitional like age range to kind of like get into this movie. Like,
yeah. But I think once you're into the movie, you're in for like life. Like you will enjoy this film.
Yeah, and like an issue I had with it is just like I knew it was gonna be good. So I came out of it thinking it was good, but like it's not like with a bad movie that's bad. It's still really interestingly bad. And with some good movies that are really really good, there's really interestingly good. This was just good. A good movie that I got into, but it's just it's difficult to put down. I still like it, but it's like, that's exactly what I expected it was gonna be.
Okay.
Really funny, quite interesting film, and that's exactly what I got, which is good. I didn't want to get a bad movie, but at the same time, at least in a bad movie, you can say, there's a lot to talk about here. Why that's so bad? And in a really good movie, there's like, there's a lot to talk about because, that was a really good movie. That's,
I think there's an important lesson in there for our listeners is do not go into a movie with expectations. That's what I say. Do not do that because it'll either ruin a good movie and tell you that is actually terrible because you're expecting great things, or make a great movie average, or make a bad movie like better because you're expecting less from it. I think going like it's not your fault obviously if you go in with expectations, but try not to. I think, but
because I would like this movie so much more if I had no clue about it and I just went in completely blind. I would be absolutely blown away. But as is, when you know so much about it, you go into it like, wow, that's exactly what I thought it was gonna be,
I do think I think the word I just used to describe it is it's really fun. It's a fun movie to watch. It's a fun movie to break down. It's a fun movie to think about. It was a fun movie to make from what I heard. It was just an enjoyable experience all around. Mm. I think it's
You know the vegan guy? Like,
yeah.
He was Superman. Like before Man of Steel, when they tried to like start it up again. Like after the first four Superman movies, if you check Superman Returns in 2006, like that's him. I was just,
wow.
Yeah. And it's because it's a Superman movie nobody actually watches. I'm not really sure why.
Wow, he's really, in everything.
Huh. I don't even know.
Well, I mean, I was saying the cast is very good. I think. It's a really fun movie. I think we should talk about the plot a little bit more in depth. I think it's kind of because there's a lot kind of to unpack. So the plot of this film, if you haven't seen it in a while, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're listening to this, but Scott is a 22-year-old Canadian unemployed kind of douchebag. He gives himself the rating awesome, the film tells us within the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He is dating a 17-year-old Chinese girl.
That is, that does not look good.
Who goes to Catholic school.
That really does not look
good. Called Knives Chow, which is, and within the first 15 minutes of the movie, his friends ask her what they've been up to in their relationship. And they ask to see her. And we don't have to wait very long before
she's
Knives
at the door.
Turns up for band practice, which is awesome. And like most people who discover music for the first time, she is like blown away. And we learned that they have a concert coming up. And while on a date, Scott has a dream about this girl called Ramona Flowers, who literally skates through his mind. And he sees her and he orders an Amazon parcel in order to see if maybe because she works at Amazon that she'll deliver it to him, which doesn't
really... That's not really how
it works.
There
are a lot of delivery
drivers. There's a lot of delivery
people.
There's
so many delivery drivers in Toronto, but she's the one that's going to deliver your package. And she does. And they go on a date. And without realizing, Scott Pilgrim gets himself into a whole world of trouble. There's a great... And then he's going through his emails and Scott gets an email and it turns out he has to fight her 7 deadly exes. Very clear on the exes because there's a girl in the mix as well. They're all dudes and one girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit weird. Scott is like obviously outnumbered, so they do it one at a time, like every superhero movie ever, where they could easily beat him if they work together, but their egos are all too big to work together.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
I think the X's are really good characters. You've got Matthew Patel, who's hilarious homage to Bollywood, pirates, and all bad dressers in the world. And he's got mystical powers. You got Lucas Lee, who's basically Chris Evans playing Chris Evans, but he skateboards.
Yeah, was this the same year as...
I don't think so, but it wouldn't have been long from him doing the Avengers, but...
No, like, the first Avengers should... It was a year after.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But, so you've got him, you've got, you have Todd, who's also a bassist and is like the anti-Scott, but because he's vegan, he's got telepathic powers, which is really cool, and so fun. You've then got 4 and 5, which are the Katanaga twins, which is where we learn that Ramona is just as bad as Scott with her relationships.
Yeah.
She dated 2 twins at the same time.
That was quite funny.
That was so... And she, like, she's never, like, without a boyfriend. She always seems to just ditch one and then have another boyfriend, like, 10 seconds later.
So they're both kind of douchebags. I guess.
Yeah, they're perfect for each other. They're both really, really horrible.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting for a movie. You
normally have one's like nice and the other's not good.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like 500 Days
of
Summer.
Neither is good in 500 Days of Summer. They both suck. Then you got number 6, which is Roxy Richter, which is the only girl of the group. And number 7 is Jason Schwartzman.
I wasn't even keeping count, actually. I was just...
Gideon, who turns out is the indie record deal they've been chasing this whole time.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. If you haven't seen this movie, go watch it, I think, is the thing to say. And if you have seen it, go watch the show. It's a fun little...
I don't know why they didn't carry it on.
Retake.
I haven't checked why they didn't... why they never got a second season. I'm not sure if it got cancelled or something. It was just
I think
a
they covered, kind of covered the plot that they wanted because it's more of like a what if for Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the series.
I watched the TV series. I watched it when it came... Well, a little bit after it came out. But I'd barely seen Scott Pilgrim, so I kind of watched it straight off the heels of watching Scott Pilgrim, which is, in my opinion, one of the best ways to do it because you're really into the story. Yeah. And it's a very fresh take. It's nothing at all like the plot of Scott Pilgrim. It's not they redid it, but it's an animated TV show version. Like, it's very different, but it has the same kind of vibe with all the same cast and some new guys in it. It has the same kind of high-quality comedy. It's very good, very well planned. It has a much more kind of coherent storyline than the movie, because I think my only complaint about the movie is it kind of jumps around a bit, the story.
Yeah, it does. I still feel it's quite tight. It's very still tightly made movie. I don't feel like this movie is confused Because a lot of movies, like when you jump around from this thing to that thing, you end up seeing that this movie doesn't really know what it wants to be. And like somehow this movie tackles a bunch of different genres, from romance to action to, like, you know, teen comedy. And somehow it's all just really well done. Everything somehow comes together in the end, which I was not expecting. I was expecting it to be a bit more like messy, you know, and I'm kind of surprised it was as good as it was. Like, you know, I knew it was going to be good, but it still managed to surprise me, actually. Yeah,
I think, yeah, it's a brilliant movie if you haven't seen it. I think it's one of the most creative, inventive movies you'll see.
Yeah, so out of five,
what are we giving it? That's a good question. Personally, for me, so I have a weird ranking system, but it's either a five because it's genuinely a brilliant movie, or it's a five because it's one of the most just creative, interesting, yeah, best at what it does movies. So for me, Scott Pilgrim is like the ultimate comfort movie. It's really funny and enjoyable. So for me, it's a five. I know I give way too many things fives. I just love cinema in general, but for me, it's a five, personally.
It's a four for me because it's good. I have no idea. I'll never know if I would like this movie if I hadn't really heard that much about it beforehand. I might have, but like this, it was as good as I thought it was going to be. It was really funny. It was really quotable. Yeah, and it's
There's
just
so
four.
Many quotes.
There's so many quotes.
I mean, like,
I can't even go into it like now, but like, yeah. So it's a four for me.
Okay. Official ranking for Scott Pilgrim is 4.5, which puts it with basically every movie. We've really got to be tougher on the movies. It's like 4.5 for everything.
Really? Well, and we have to do a bad movie.
I mean, yeah, quote, come in next time we're doing...
I don't know.
500 Days of Summer to finish our Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
I'm not really feeling 500 Days.
Well, we'll have to... We'll see. But thank you for listening. We've been Edward and...
Noah.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. I do know your name.